Episode 5 is our tribute to both the Bad News Bears and Temple of Doom.
We actually should mention, these never appeared anywhere.
And Last Starfighter.
And Last Starfighter. These never appeared on any of the actual episodes, but all of our scripts had really good titles.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like, Episode 1, and then it, or... Dante and Randall learn a very good lesson.
Yeah, it was like episode 1, Leonardo returns, and Dante learns a very important lesson. And then each title got longer and longer and longer.
This one was. This one, I think, involved those titles. Loving tribute, too. And this episode, if I may say, Brian, is your tour de force.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, this was definitely a Dante episode.
This is a huge Dante episode. And the funniest thing was, some of the network people, this was their favorite of the ones that they hated, all of them. This is the one they hated the least. Exactly. Because inadvertently they felt we had done a very positive Dante story of sort of personal growth and learning to coach
the
little
kids. They liked it because there was a moral lesson, because Dante grew.
Oh, back there in the gym, there were actually, all those pictures on the wall were caricatures of the animation crew.
Oh, that's cool.
I never knew that.
And the space shuttle joke was much discussed.
And we should point out, too, that Quick Stop, that was something that the network didn't care whether it was called Quick Stop or not. Like, at one point, they said, we can't use Quick Stop. And I said, but that's what's called in the movie. And we said, but you know, they said, we don't care. It's going to cost money, so we don't want to spend that money. And so we shelled out from ViewSkew. We had to write a check to the people that own Quick Stop back in Jersey so we can keep it as Quick Stop and as Leonardo and all that stuff.
That, by the way, is a really cool animation shot, which, again, was Chris and the boys. Dirty Debbie Peters. And these are the lesbians.
That's Kevin Richardson's
voices.
Originally, our lesbians had hair on the shoulders and 5 o'clock shadow, but we were asked to make them more attractive.
I believe the official network note was less dykey.
yeah, we sure accomplished that, didn't we?
Less Diesel. Hey, John Sharp, team captain and MVP. This guy was really funny, and his name escapes me now.
It does escape me, but that was another joke, too. Doesn't ring a bell. Later on, that whole let's take him outside, beat him up for being
which
different from us
gets longer and longer.
I've seen that guy too. He's been in a lot of things on TV.
Yeah, Jim something. He's a stand-up, really funny. And this is Elon Gold, who used to be on the Dana Carvey show and a very, very funny impressionist and did a bunch of voices for us.
Now, originally, this character who was giving out the awards had a little bit in the show where she was referred to as Ugly Janet.
Leonardo comes in and sees his old classmates, and he says, like,
hey,
hi, gang.
Yeah, and they're like, you don't remember our names, do you?
And he's like, of course I do. One eye, tall guy, Ugly Janet. What was it? Ugly Janet. And she goes, no, it's Ugly Jennifer or something.
If you notice, there's a little bit of hair on her face, and we were asked, when the show came back from overseas, we were told that we had to use our retake money and take that hair off because of the request that we make the lesbians more attractive. So I told her, my producer, to tell the network that Ugly Janet wasn't a lesbian, she was heterosexual, and do we really have to do it? He brightened up and ran back to his office and promptly made that call.
And they said, fine, we're never going to air these anyway.
Yeah. No, first they said, how do we know she's not a lesbian?
That's our Wild Wild West moment, by the way. The spider body.
All right, John, I found a yearbook. Look, there I am in the team picture.
I don't see any manager.
By the way, the bad publicity line was...
I was just going to bring that up, man.
Okay.
That was a great joke.
Hilarious
and that was,
joke.
What's her name? Jen
Olin. Yeah,
Jen Olin.
Who was a writer's assistant at Seinfeld and helped us out. Oh, God, that was a great joke. Now, I'm sorry, we just have to go back to that real quick, which if you freeze frame on the picture of the Saigon police officer, you'll see that under it says Best Hall Monitor. Randall Graves' Best Hall Monitor or something. And the reason was is that is a copyrighted photo, but we could use it if it was parody. So by putting in the yearbook description, it was a yearbook parody, and we could legally use it. This is most of what we learned from working on the show.
It's not parody enough just putting Randall in the photo?
Right, exactly. That's not parody, but by saying Best Hall Monitor, we were able to use it. And there were a lot of weird things like that.
I have a huge crush on you.
And let's give a quick shout-out to some folks who worked on the show we didn't mention thus far. Angela?
Yes,
Angela Macias.
Angela Macias, who really, who was the last employee on Clerks. Like, everyone else had, was gone, and she was still working on the show. Like, even
she
when the show was finished.
She actually still is working on it. No one has the heart to break it to her, so please don't tell her.
She was in there like a champ, and we appreciate that. So big ups to Angela. And also John Bush, who was, what was John's official title?
John was the line producer.
John was the line producer.
Yeah.
Who was the heads-up guy. I don't think anyone's going to debate me on that subject.
At least not publicly.
John was a great guy and kept shit way together when we were putting everything together. And then Chris, you worked very closely with John.
Yeah, John. I just give John my request, and he'd armor up and go in and do battle with the network people.
Yeah, he had a tough gig, man, because he had to go. He was the go-between between us and the network most times.
Yeah.
And so the kill the messenger. That's Paul Dini again.
No, that one isn't
Paul
Dini.
See, that's what I thought Paul was, but I don't think
so. Banya from Seinfeld. Why can't I think of his name now, of course?
Why, you re-recorded?
No, Paul when Dini? He came in, we did that one. Paul was a different one.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure this one. He goes, hey, hot stuff, let's get out of here. Because he still does it to this day.
What? Really? I'm pretty sure. Well, too late now.
That's some guy who did that voice.
And the girl was Michelle Micah, who... has done episodes of Friends and was Ricky Schroeder's girlfriend on the first season of NYPD Blue, which is a very good actress.
Good morning.
The other thing that was neat in this episode, we already talked about this, was a big Dante tour de force, but we sort of also have this sort of strong Randall B. story, and when we sort of did this episode, it sort of seemed like we were on to what the shape of these shows would be like a little more, which is to say, one or two of the main characters sort of up front, as we'll see, like, Jay and Bob get involved in Dante's story, and then the other character doing something else, and then they sort of collide.
Like, there were future storylines where one was Randall tries to exploit Jay. Like, and after listening to Jay outside the Quick Stop all this time, Randall decides that he's going to turn, like, Snoogans or Snoochie Boochies into a catchphrase and turns him into a recording artist. We talked about doing that. And we'd also talked about doing...
we had a bunch.
Yeah. There was the Kit episode.
No. The Kit episode.
Kit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was
where Dante buys Kit.
No, it was Randall.
Randall buys Kit.
He finds him at like a used car lot and buys him. And the car, Kit, is jealous of Randall's relationship with Dante and then tries to kill Dante and then impersonates him at the store wearing like in single white female. And no one notices that it's a car. God, that was going to be good.
And then we were going to do the boy band episode where Jay goes off to join a boy band and Randall and Dante feel bad for Silent Bob, so they bring him in as an employee of a Quick Stop. And he really starts turning shit around.
Yeah, the store just takes off.
And they give him a piece of gum, and he's like, juicy fruit, you know? And they're like, you could talk? And there's a little bit of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest going on there. Yeah, come on. Lots of good ideas, none of them you'll ever see.
There's a list somewhere.
Check it out. I'm going to break my old record.
Rob Zimmerman is the name of... Isn't that the name of...
It must be one of Brian's...
No. Rob Zimmerman is is Bob Dylan's real name.
Oh, is that why?
I believe this
episode, by the way, was conceived by and written by Brian Kelly, who was a news radio writer, and he did a really good job.
And we all got jokes in it, but it was primarily his episode.
It was his idea, and we helped.
And it was culled together from a lot of ideas. Like, he'd come up with a bunch of show ideas, and one was a Bad News Bear show,
and one was the Last Starfighter show.
And
we figured out this crazy way of gluing them together, and he, I'm not sure, ever really believed it would work until he saw it air on TV, which of course it never did, so he actually doesn't believe it ever worked.
Off the top of my head, I'd say these men are in the employ of some super secret federal agency which created...
I always like that feedback joke.
I like this delivery right here.
Yeah, the animation is too good. It's just the dragging. Yep.
And that's that guy again from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yep, Bryan Cranston. This is a great read. Bye forever.
Bye forever.
This was a great episode to do. I think I was gone before lunch.
You were in and out, but what was there was very choice. The kid in the helmet, finally. Trying to make these kids somewhat retarded.
That kid in the helmet, I thought, was that gave Baldwin his best delivery. we missed it. It's way back
in
the early.
Yes, look at him.
Yeah, he goes, oh my, Dante goes, oh my God, the kid in the helmet. And Baldwin goes, yes, look at him.
And Alec was just great because he really didn't
and
know
he
what
he found that character
was.
In about 5 minutes. Like we were outside a recording studio in Toronto, and he was like, how do you want him to sound? We're like, kind of faux European. And 5 minutes later, he had the read, and there it was. Leonardo.
Another amazing casting shout-out, I guess. Professor Rom, Michael McKean of Spinal Tap fame, and I guess...
those of you who don't know, Lenny and Squiggy as well. He's Lenny. But Spinal Tap, most cats definitely know him for. He's in Best of Show right now as well.
That's right, and he came in...
He was in that great episode of The X-Files last year, too, or 2 years back.
Where they switch brains.
Him and Duchovny switch bodies.
And he came in, and just another one of these guys that, like, a lot of the stuff, what's the little phrase he says?
Oh, he goes, you see? Yeah.
Yeah, he just added that, you see?
And that Asian woman, again, was April.
Yeah, but he was just amazing. He just found this voice and just did it. And it was
rolling.
The funniest thing was he's one of these guys where he's too good because he was, like, saying to us, like, I can do this kind of an Indian voice or this kind of an Indian voice, and we're just sitting there going,
he was like, do you want
Indian.
Pakistani or would you like Hindu? And we were like, I don't know.
I met that one woman, I don't know who she was, who came in and she said, do you want a 9-year-old child or a 10-year-old child?
There were differences,
and we made her do it, and there were actual differences.
Yeah. They were both frightening and yet sexy.
That was Dave Mandel.
Sicko.
Huge, said the man who got 100 million points. Go on, give it a try.
Great read.
Don't you have any machines that can do
that? It's so sincere.
And this whole just Temple of Doom dungeon place just looked incredible. Just some of the best work. The real sad thing was, as we got to the fifth and the sixth episode, everything was moving like clockwork. Just you know, the records were easier, the designs were looking fantastic, and then we shut down and never worked on it again.
Yeah, we started with you know, the comic book as a point of departure, but by this point we've really found our own style, I think.
And Jay's best line reading in all the shows is coming up right here.
Jay is the Kelly Lee of this episode.
You feel that in your face, son, Bob? Wahoo, nooch!
In the fourth grade. That's Phil Lamar again. He got left back.
This was our loophole. Jay's only in the fourth grade. So he could play Little League.
All we have to do is convince him to play. Jay. How would you like to play it?
Walk!
And there was another sequence that we cut he was going through math equations.
Yeah,
Dante was like doing math equations.
They're like working at a blackboard and working with dioramas of how we're going to get Jay. And then it's just, hey, want to play?
This is definitely a Dante episode, but all the Randall stuff is gold.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it to have the Indians talk like Charlie Chan?
I think it just that was Elon Gold again. It just, I think, came out of the voiceover sessions where they just all were just yelling.
This guy's an idiot.
This is one of my favorite visual bits in the show.
It's also,
these guys rounding the bases together.
It's kind of adorable. And the team names was a huge thing. We couldn't use like Yankees and stuff, and then it was like just trying to get the names in, and you can barely see them, but it's like Diabetic Bears and the Jewish Traveling All-Stars, and I think there's like then
the Dyslexic Mariners.
Yeah,
stuff
but we,
like that.
We
there's
wanted
stuff
like
that. First the network's
we
like,
wanted
you
like,
can't do that because you're making fun of the disabled.
Right.
We're like, no, the idea is that these teams are like the so-called disabled, they're so able that they're beating Dante's
team.
That
one was the Handicapable Lady Lions. In this case, as funny as it would have been to say a word like retarded by using sort of like politically correct speech, it actually became funnier, Handicapable Lady Lions.
I like this. I like where Randall sells out right here, where he's like, that guy's moving rock slow.
Break again?
No break. Anything but break. Most honorable guard? That's leaving.
Just selling out on someone else. Break. While full guard with Pete. Randall's character in the show, like some people on the net, like took umbrage toward the fact that he always seemed like he played this the character on the cartoon is a guy who's always trying to punch holes in Dante's boat and always trying to hurt Dante in these weird small ways. But I thought that was a really great development for the cartoon. It works so well. Like, Randall in the cartoon, I feel, is so different from Randall in the movie while still being the same. But the differences are just, they're just golden.
I like in the virus one where he comes in and he says, am I too late for the pyre? Have you already burned Dante?
There's a mischief air about him where he wants to see Dante harmed.
That's also a great line read, by the way, when you're like, oh, Dante, you're alive. Thank goodness. By the way, in that sequence of him trying to escape, there was a much longer version that we storyboarded where
Donkey Kong.
Where, yeah, as he's running up the ladders, he's like jumping over barrels, and it was Donkey Kong.
That's the second appearance of a shark in the show.
First appearance is classic.
But actually, it's the first appearance, because the second appearance came later. I believe we added that shark that eats Sam Jackson
right,
the other episode later on.
Then throw it out!
That's a great reading.
Then throw it out!
Throw it out!
Ow! Dante's gonna come. Dante's gonna come. Ow!
In retrospect, we should have aired this one first.
Probably.
Yeah. It's such a funny episode.
There are times like that where the animation sort of looks a little silly, like how stiff it is, and it almost makes it that much better to me.
And Tom's River is a real New Jersey town that is the home of the real New Jersey, or the real world Little League champs.
But we can't use Little League.
We couldn't call it Little League because it's copyright, so they were like Junior Little League or something we're calling them in the show.
You could say Little League, but not write it or something.
And that was the line I bust my ass to get into New York for.
Which I thank you so much.
And this is Michael McKean doing his Vincent Price
impression, which is so great when he drops his voice.
We'll find the children, and we'll bring them back.
This is where the episode takes the most bizarre turn of any of the episodes.
There's a really neat thing, though, in this episode, which is in this act, because now
we're
all of a sudden...
Did we do the Firepuck act?
Yes, we
yes,
did.
We did.
Thank God. This guy, we couldn't believe we forgot about that. Plus the salamander, a little bit like outside of Jabba's palace.
This entrance is for delivery.
This is the same guy that played the baseball guy.
Yes, that's right.
A special delivery?
That is great. That's a great read. But in the back end of this episode now, it's like they're the Little League team, and now all of a sudden you see how these two stories are about to join as they find that Randall's there. And what's really neat is Dante really does become this action hero, like, let's go, let's do that. And Randall throughout the rest of the...
I like Chase Get'em, and then he does it again.
Yeah, here it goes.
Yeah, that's right.
You got my message.
I think it comes in a second. What happened? Randall, in the rest of this episode, throughout it, just sort of, as all this action stuff
here it is,
going
here
on.
It is.
Oh.
You want to take my place, burn boy?
Get him!
There's no time.
But Randall, for the rest of the episode, as all this action stuff is going on, is just constantly now reading magazines and sort of just commenting, which was just really fun for his character, like, just complaining about, like, that the kid slaves aren't breaking as big a rock as he
right.
did, and just weird things like that. But it was really funny. It was just a really good use of him. I don't know.
McKean's delivery on this line, too, is really genuine. Just so good. Where he's like, thanks a bunch, get them.
Tear his heart out! Hey, that just ruins everything. Thanks a bunch, get them.
I also, when that came out, it wasn't really in the script, but in the records, how he
kept
referring to
his
coach Dante,
and we of course just kept adding it. See, that's a what a ripoff.
Here
just,
it comes
yeah.
because what are you gonna do? What do you know what to do, kids?
What do we do, Coach Dante?
And the music is just great, and then he's just showering Asians. Give him the helmet.
Now we're just getting lost in the show again.
Yeah.
Now
let's get out
of here. You know, it wasn't the best show ever made, but this was such a fucking funny series. God, I wish it kept going.
That was a neat shot, the way it panned over.
We're leaving.
How do, Randall?
Come on.
That's me.
You have Randall. Now go. Spread your message of male worthlessness and lesbian.
I'm pretty sure that other guy was Paul Dini.
I think it wasn't, but
you and me are
going to
come to blows over this.
This has been brewing for 2 years.
This
is
also
a
last-minute edition. Yeah.
I don't remember how it.
Well, just
blew
because
up
we
the
had
end.
Them blowing up and we never
right.
explained
we
why.
We just said like let's go and then it blew up, and this is our pure pure
Temple of Doom
shot, which just really was wonderful.
This is coming to my favorite scene of the actual baseball game, with the wind blowing them over and them cooking food.
Do you have any cans of whipped cream?
For the months of malnutrition and crippling abuse our children have suffered.
Oh, Mayor? You forgot.
Which I think was a little more like
we tried to say flat out reference whippet hits, and the network wouldn't let us do it. But whipped cream you could say, because they don't realize it's the same or something.
Just ever running the bases together.
Just whenever possible, cutting to them carrying the kid. That came out great. And then the spit roast thing. And then just more showering. That's him, Banya, but I'm so embarrassed I can't think of his name. From Seinfeld.
The escorts win. They are the new little.
Like how Randall runs into later on.
Hicks.
Papa!
Getting Charles Barkley to say that was the greatest thing ever.
With a wink.
And was the joke very clear that Dante's cut out of that picture again?
As clear as we can make it.
It's so funny.
But that little picture is the sum up of the entire series in a sense, because it's like Dante trying hard, sort of succeeding, cut out of the picture, Randall runs in. Jim Krueger, I think, was his name. I saw the credit there. The guy who played the baseball guy. Jim.
Well, that was the penultimate episode. Next is the ultimate episode, not by virtue of its quality, but because it's last.